Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Thank you for taking some time to join us here in Vancouver, Canada. You ever been to Vancouver? You guys played here?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I'm positive that I saw you guys.
We played there with Face to Face and Teenage Bottle Rocket. Like,
where was that? Was that was it called Venue?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, I've seen you guys anyway. But anyway, how's the camp, man? How's dealing with COVID? And like, obviously, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's there. Man, how are you guys specifically dealing with it?
I'm dealing with it better now than I was. Like, I'm like super high risk for it. Cause like I only have one lung, so was like really not leaving my pad at all. And I finally got vaccinated, so I'm like feeling way better now. But I hate that it's been such a clusterfuck of a vaccination.
It's been insane, right? Like
yeah, and I thought Canada would do a better job than the U.S. honestly. And yeah, all my friends up there are like,
dude, we have to fucking go to India to get our vaccinations. Like, what the hell? Really?
That's unreal.
It's crazy, man. As like a leading country, a G7 country, we have to outsource vaccines. Like, what?
Yeah, I was kind of fucking shocked. Like, I've
totally
friends up there that are like really high risk too. And
yeah, my wife is as well.
So. Yeah, and they're like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's really, it's been such a mess. I think it's been easier for me than like my brother or other creative people because I write as well. So like I can kind of live in my own head a little bit, but like with music and other collaborative stuff, it's been really hard.
So what's that like for Blacklist Royals then, for writing during COVID? And of course you've got the Doomsday Girl EP coming out on April 2nd. Like,
yeah,
what was that process like in comparison to the other stuff you guys have done in the past? Like I would imagine that must've just been a send back and forth Pro Tools, like just a
it was. It was like, and it would be like, you know, there was a couple times over the quarantine that like we'd have to go in the studio individually. Like we wouldn't even be in the same, like my brother might be in the control room and I'd be in the drum room and then I'd leave.
Yeah.
And then they had the drum tech guy would go in and, I mean, we made it work, but it hasn't been easy. Like we really finally just kind of, my brother and I were just finally able to start playing again the last like couple weeks, which has been great.
Yeah.
But it definitely made me want to play music more, you know what I mean? Like just having that taken away.
Yeah. And is it weird to release music during the pandemic? Like, was there ever talk in the group, like, fuck guys, maybe we should hold off here? And
yeah, it has been weird. And like, we actually have a lot of stuff, other stuff recorded that we're not releasing yet, but like, it's funny, this particular EP, like, we'd wrote the songs for a movie soundtrack and like we had them, they weren't finished, but then like they became weirdly like very relevant with the pandemic and stuff, and
right.
And we knew it was gonna be a more scaled back kind of release, but at the same time, like, you know, everything's been such a drag, and for music fans especially. So we were like, let's go ahead and release these three songs as an EP and just have something cool to do. And
yeah, just kind of bide the time for the, for your fans.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
that's cool.
And so, yeah, we just, for the 10 people that give a shit, we just thought we'd give them something cool that, so nice. Maybe their week didn't suck as bad as every other week.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying you've got something else in the can, like, will we hear a full length?
Yeah. I mean,
anytime soon, or
we have, a full length written and okay. A bunch of other stuff. We'd wrote most of those songs for the soundtrack for my memoir that I'd released a couple years ago is getting made into a movie, and
right
now I'm writing all the songs for that. So we have that, and then we have a whole other full length written, and we have a full length recorded for our other band Bad Signs, and
oh wow,
all that stuff we just, and most of that we did over quarantine, and we just we're not releasing it yet, but those Blacklist songs specifically we wanted to go ahead and get out there. Like, we were supposed to, you know, we'd been supposed to do this like 10 year anniversary show at the Fest in Florida, and that got canceled, and we were really bummed about that. A lot of other people were bummed about it.
Sucks, dude.
Yeah, we just wanted to do something cool.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll happen this year, but
yeah,
we shall see.
Well, it seems like, I mean, it seems like the light's there. So, well, tell us about writing the memoir, Die Young With Me. Like, how long does that take? Is it something that, like, would you write another book?
Yeah, I've actually written that. My third book's coming out in July. So,
oh, nice.
But the memoir was definitely, that was the first thing I'd ever written. And we were still touring really heavily. So it probably took me like 5 years or so.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, it kind of started out as it looked like a fucking suicide bomber manifesto or something. It was like 900 pages or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, getting that out was like a huge shift in my, like, it was a huge fucking deal, and really kind of opened up
another
creative world for me. But it also kind of meant that we weren't doing as much Blacklist Royals because I was so busy with that. So it's been really exciting to get to start playing music again and getting back into that.
Cause
you know, writing feels like, I mean, it's great, but it's like work, you know, in a way that playing music isn't.
Right.
And so, yeah, I definitely was so happy to get in there and bang on some drums.
Right on. With your brother, obviously your twin brother being in the band, do you feel that, like, do you guys have a leg up on other bands? Like, how long have you guys been playing fucking music together?
Yeah, since we were
like little kids, right?
Yeah, like 13 or 14. Yeah. Like, yeah, we do in a way. I mean, in a way, it's, and definitely, like, probably our bandmates could attest for this, like, it's definitely more challenging in some ways, but creatively, like, it, we are really lucky because we're just like working on the same wavelength, and we both write the songs, and we can just go, all right, and like, on this part, do some shit like this, and then this,
and then he that. Just gets it. He understands.
Yeah, right? Okay, totally.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's not just you guys, but like, you know, look at bands like the Black Crowes and AC/DC and Heart and fucking Nickelback and Allman Brothers and like all these bands. There, Kings of Leon.
Yeah,
you know, all these bands. There's, it's something about these sibling bands, man.
It really, it's cool, man. Like, there is something, it's cool. Cause you have a collaborator in a different way. I mean, unless it's going to like, I mean, it can get fucking contentious. And
oh, I bet there's times where you just want to fucking strangle them. Right?
But like, you know, family gets contentious no matter if you're playing music or what. So like,
yeah, man,
I feel really lucky for that.
At the best of times. What's the music in your house, man? As a, like, as a kid growing up, what are your parents playing?
Oh, growing up, they listened to a lot of oldies. My mom was really into like Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that. Like a lot of like Rod Stewart and shit like that. That I love still.
I mean, that's right there. Those two guys. Yeah. That's comfort music, man. Like right there. That's totally. Just like, put it on. It's feel good tunes, you know?
Yeah. And I think like, really all the oldies and stuff help is probably part of the reason I latched onto punk rock so much. Cause it was familiar in that way, you know, like, simple, catchy,
right,
straightforward.
So who do you credit kind of taking you guys down that path? I mean, fucking punk rock, a far stretch from Bruce Springsteen and Rod Stewart.
Yeah, probably our cousin Anthony. Like, we grew up in West Virginia, which is like the middle of nowhere, and there was no punk rock at all. And he lived in Richmond, Virginia, which is like a pretty big punk rock city. Like Strike Anywhere and Amberetta, and there's a lot of cool bands from there. So we had went there for like a family reunion, and he was super big into punk rock, and Nat and I were just like, holy shit, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it.
Yeah. What was the first concert that you saw?
Man, the first real band I ever saw was Helmet.
Okay, Brad, great band.
And it was really weird because we never got shows in our town, and they tried to put on some like outdoor venue thing in our in the park and booked Helmet to play, and they were so loud and
aggressive, and
I just remember going home and like raising my fucking cymbals like this size it would go, you know.
Nice. How old were you for that?
I was probably like 13 or 14.
Wow. Oh, so that's a huge eye opener.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Yeah.
I'd never seen like a real band before, you know.
Yeah, that's deadly. Yeah, I read something. Was it that you guys have played in like a fucking prison? Did I read that right?
We have, yeah. We played in a women's prison in Germany.
How did that get hooked up? Like what?
It was this crazy thing. Like we were going over on tour, and our booking agent, I think it was like, if you guys want to do a date, like whatever town it was in, I don't even remember the fucking town, but like whatever the town was, they were like, if you guys want to do a day show at the prison, you'll get paid like five times as much as you're getting paid at the actual show. And I was like, the women, like, not only will we do it, like we want to fucking like record it and release it.
Fuck
and,
yeah.
And it was going to be called Caged Heat. And wow. I was like so fucking excited that we had in our minds like Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison.
Totally.
And it was like not, it was like this weird, like very intimidating kind of thing. And it sucked for my brother too, because we had worked out on the stage banner, and we were covering like Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak and like Jailhouse Rock and shit like that, because we wanted to put it on the record.
Yeah.
And like, so when it actually went down, they brought the prisoners out, and it was like really weird and intimidating. And they're kind of like, cat calling us in German and shit. And I just kind of kept my eyes down the whole time, but he had to like, I was like, you still got to do the stage banter. So he's saying like, this song goes, I tell you, jailbirds and shit like that. And it was actually, it was actually really awesome because we finished the show and we were like outside. And so they had some girls in the yard, but then it was like an old prison. Like it looked like the prison from Shawshank Redemption or something.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There's girls like hanging out of their cells and they start throwing down, like they had printed off like flyers about the show and like throwing them down to, for us to sign them. And it was really like, I never in my life imagined my picture would be up in a women's
prison in Germany. Cell.
Like, this is such a huge milestone in my life. Like, and it was all of a sudden like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Dude,
fucking, did you guys fucking do jailbreak?
Yeah, we did. And we actually went from, it was like a medley of prison songs. It was like so poorly thought out. Like,
tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Yeah,
we did jailbreak into Jailhouse Rock.
That's awesome.
And then the fucked up thing is the tape messed up and we didn't even get to use the recording. And it was such a bummer because it was such a great weird experience.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was like, when I read that, I'm like, fuck, I gotta ask him about that, man. That had to be like, that's gotta be up there for
nobody ever asks about that. And it was such a funny, and there was actually one there was one prisoner who was like saying something to Nat and she had like a really bad outbreak of something all over her face. And the guard was like, she's saying she wants to kiss you. And Nat's like, I don't think that's allowed. And he goes, no, it's fine. And let her out. And she comes over and like plants this huge kiss on him. And the next day he woke up and he had shit all over breaking out of his face.
No.
Oh my God.
Something to remember me by.
Yeah. And for the rest of your fucking life.
All right, dude, let's get outside of music for a second. What you're known for. What are you binging, man, right now? Pandemic, you got tons of time. What are the shows you're binging?
Oh, what shows am I binging? Man. Oh my God. I just watched this show called The Murders at White House Farm on HBO, and it's a true story.
Oh, man.
Like a 6-part series, and it was so fucked. And
dude, I get into those as well. I can't remember what was the name of the one, the something Ramirez, the San Francisco killer?
Ramirez.
Dude, if you haven't seen that on Netflix, man, it is.
I haven't watched it yet. I know what you're talking about.
Like, it's just, you know, most serial killers like that, they'll have like a rhyme and a reason. It's like, you know, it's white girls between 18 and 30 or whatever, and you know, it's in a taxi all the time, it's this or whatever. Like, there's always an MO. But this Ramirez guy was like fucking kids and women and men and blacks and whites, Latinos, didn't give a fuck. Like, just the creepiest shit.
I actually know somebody whose aunt was almost picked up by him. And he like invited her and her friend to a party, and the friend wanted to go because she thought he was cute, you know, and she's like sensed something off about him and was like, fuck that. And then like 2 weeks later they arrested him.
Yeah, and they arrested him based on a fucking shoe print, bro.
Unreal. It's unreal. Like And now I'm watching this show called Snowfall that's like really cool. It's about, which is also a true story and totally fucked up, like the crack epidemic in the 1980s and on the West Coast in California, and how that was funded by the CIA. And
really?
Because, which is true. The CIA Reagan was doing all that shit in the Middle East, or in the South America with the Sandinistas and stuff, and like funded that by having the CIA sell these drugs, which ended up becoming crack cocaine. And like, it's such a fucked up story, but it's really interesting.
Mm. You get into the superhero stuff, like the WandaVision, and
man, I like that show, Doom Patrol.
Oh yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was really cool, and I do love, like, I loved fucking superheroes, man. When I was a kid, and like, I never got into, like, I haven't let myself get into all those Marvel Universe movies and shit, you know, like,
dude, now that's a slippery slope, man. Once you,
like, I haven't even ventured down that yet.
Yeah. But you liked it as a kid. So like, did you collect comics, or was it just more?
I loved comics. Okay. I collected like Spider-Man and X-Men especially.
Yeah. Same. Interesting. But you haven't let yourself go down that path. Or why is that?
I don't know. I think I'm like a fucking snob, maybe. Like, to be honest, like, I think, like, I dug the first two, the original, like, first two Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
I really did. I loved Wonder Woman. I loved, like, the first Captain America movie.
Yeah. Did you see the first Iron Man?
The Iron Man movies were fucking awesome.
Like, because that, I mean, that Jon Favreau, once he took a hold of that
franchise,
it's fucking like, dude, you don't even make a movie unless it's going to hit Iron Man. Like,
I thought the first, really, Iron Man 1, 2, 3 were fucking
amazing.
Sick.
Like, yeah. So it sounds like you have.
So yeah, I have. The waters. I think it was like the last, when there was like one, two a year coming out.
Yeah, they're at overkill right now.
Yeah, that I kind of dropped off. But yeah, there's initial ones I did like. Those were great.
Interesting. Okay, so now I'm asking, as a comic book fan then, which superpower would you want to have?
Man, you know, I've thought about this many times. And I think I like the idea of like... I like the idea of the animantium. I know that's not really a superpower, but like
Wolverine.
Wolverine, it's interesting because like he can basically add on powers because he can't fucking really get hurt. So like, you know, I'm going, you know, now I have the possibility of like upgrading my shit. And that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I mean, and they don't really know his age.
Yeah,
because of the healing factor, and like, fuck, he could be a couple hundred years old, right?
Yeah, and what about you?
Teleportation.
That's a good one, man.
The fucking Nightcrawler, right? Like,
dude,
you know, I could teleport. Obviously, not right now because fucking COVID, but teleport and hang out with you rather than this Zoom shit, right?
I wonder what the restrictions on teleportation.
Well, I wouldn't want it to be Nightcrawler's because Nightcrawler could only teleport where he could see.
Yeah. And, you know, when randomly now, like the most underused super X-Man really to me was Storm. Cause I'm like, couldn't she just make a fucking Storm ever? Like, couldn't that end every battle?
Like everything.
Like, couldn't you just make a big tsunami kill all these fucking people?
Yeah.
And they never really utilized that.
I know. Right. Oh, you got a cat.
Oh yeah, it's my brother's cat, Cat James.
Aw.
I have a cat and dog running around in here.
Love cats. Love cat. I got a little dog too. We should have called him Pandemic or COVID, but got him 6 months back. He's just a cute little golden retriever.
Really? That's
named Sergeant Puppers.
That dude, I got my dog like a couple months before the pandemic and like And he's like a special needs dog. So he's such a fucking, he's so much fucking work.
Really? But
it ended up kind of like keeping me sane because like
hell yeah,
dogs pissing all over you, you can't like think about the overwhelming sense of doom, like, you know, like it really helped center me.
Yeah. Where was the last place you went on vacation,
man? Last real vacation I took was to this. It was an awesome trip. Actually, it was, we went to Denver and went to, drove outside of Denver to where the Stanley Hotel is, which is the hotel that The Shining is based on.
Oh, okay.
And we stayed there, and it was a fucking creepy trip. And we just got like high as fuck and went around the hotel, and there was weird shit happening, like the elevator would open and shut and would
go up. Wow.
And then so we did that, and it was awesome. And then we went to
couple twins walking the hallways, let's get the fuck out.
Yeah,
here.
we were looking like total psychos. and then we went to Red Rocks and saw Bryan Adams.
Oh, no way. Bryan Adams. Wow.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. You know, I also play drums like you. I'm not fucking anywhere, and I'm nowhere near pro.
Yeah.
But I have an awesome Bryan Adams story. When I was working up at a radio station up in Prince George, Northern BC, he was doing a part of his tour. I don't know if he still does it today. I don't even know if he's fucking still tours or not, but for this tour, he was like, all right, this is the time of the tour where, you know, like we're going to get listener, the people in the crowd to come up and fucking play the instruments. And I was like, here we go. Right. And my girlfriend at the time, she's nudging me. She's like, put your hand up. And I'm literally at the fucking back of the venue. That's like a, I don't know, 12,000 seater hockey, yeah, right up in PG. And, you know, so I was like, just to basically shut her up, I was like, fine. So I put my hand up and fucking boom, the spotlight, the big tall guy in the back. Look at me. So I get up and I play Summer of 69.
That's real.
Dude, it was fucking insane.
That's, dude,
you know, like as a guy, like, you know, I'm like a weekend warrior fucking,
yeah,
like I'll butcher a classic, like nobody's business, but like to get up, the bass player remained. There was a new guitarist. Bryan sang some, but there was a singer as well. Like it was like one of the coolest memories for me ever.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like you hear about people doing that stuff, but I've never met anybody that's actually gonna get
up. And more nerve wracking. But so buddy, you know, I walk up and buddy hands me I think his name is Paul. He hands me the sticks. He goes, can you play? I said, I'm okay. I won't fuck it up, but more nerve wracking, fucking buddy stands right here. Like, fuck, I could touch him close.
That would fucking be horrifying.
It was insane.
I mean, like, I, to be honest, I've had a chance to do that at like tours we've been on.
Yeah.
Well, the headliner and I've gone, nah. And these are like, I mean, like 500 cap rooms are like big to me, but like not a fucking stadium.
Dude, 12,000, like a, you know,
unreal.
Just stomp the kick. It was like, holy shit. And then afterwards, Bryan Adams came up to me and he gave me a hug and he said, hey man, so you know, like one of the best performances we've ever had for drums. Because at the time I was playing a ton, man. I was playing a couple, 2-3 hours daily, right?
Oh, so you must have fucking killed.
I fucking crushed it, man.
That's, dude. I mean, that's like getting called into a basketball game and making the fucking half court shot.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm like literally shaking as I'm walking back to my seat, right? Like,
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
what's been? I know this is impossible, but like, what's been your career highlight? Can you nail it down to like one thing, or is that just like, fuck, dude, not happening?
Man, I honestly like it's hard to fucking say, like, I know my rock and roll highlight was, long story short, I tried to take my mom to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and we stood in line for fucking hours. She had like a sign. She was so excited. And then they said the tickets I had were counterfeit. Took the tickets, took her sign. I got in a fight with the guy. It was a terrible experience. So then he was playing in Nashville like a year later, and I convinced her to, I was like, come down, whatever. We ended up up front. And like he played a Clash song and like was looking at and like was like nodded to us because there's like some us punk rockers up front, and we were like, whoa. And then he played Thunder Road, and he threw out his harmonica, and I fucking caught it.
Nice.
And like I've never caught anything in my life. Like I was literally the one kid that didn't even make it in Little League. They wouldn't even want to play Little League. And I couldn't believe it. And I gave it to my mom. And then he played Dancing in the Dark, and he's going like, is that your mom? And I was like, yes, it's my fucking mom. And I don't even know how he did. He somehow floated into the crowd like fucking Magneto. Now that we're talking about. Picked her up. Yeah. He picked her up. They danced. They slow danced for Dancing in the Dark. He kissed her on the lips.
No.
Like levitated her back into the fucking crowd. And like nothing I've ever done has matched seeing my mom dance with Bruce Springsteen. She swears that he whispered his hotel room number into her ear, but she was too nervous and forgot it. I don't know if that's true, but I like to believe it is.
Dude, that's such an awesome story, man.
It was, dude. I got the harmonica fucking framed fucking up right there.
Like, deadly, man. Awesome, wow. Man. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
But you're one of the only fucking people I've ever met that just topped that story.
I don't know about that, man. That's pretty amazing, man. Yeah, I wasn't dancing with Bryan Adams.
But I wasn't even on stage. I'm like fucking dancing with this guy vicariously through my mom. Like,
yeah,
I would have pushed her out of the fucking way if I could. If he would have danced with me, I would have told her to sit the fuck down.
Slow dancing with with the boss.
Yeah, I would have been all about it, man.
Awesome. Dude, I'm gonna wrap it up here and respect your time here. And
Ooh, hey, yeah, thanks so much,
man. Thank you again, man, for taking some time and jumping on. Looking forward to I've heard the album. I got the advance or the EP. I'm looking forward to you guys maybe coming back to Vancouver, and when that happens, let's grab a beer.
I would love that, dude. Drinks on me for sure.
Right on. Okay, bud.
Time, man. Thanks.
Yeah. You guys are easy to find online simply at Blacklist Royals. And I guess we'll see you online.
Cool, man.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nail, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.